In our opening chapter, we saw the creation of God. He created the heavens and the earth. We've been singing about that this morning. He creates human beings, his ultimate creation, the capstone of God's creation. And he places humans in the garden with a choice. And he simply says, I've given you one rule here. I'm going to ask that you obey. And they choose to disobey God. They choose to go their own way. They want to be like God. And that begins our descent away from God, even as they hid from God the very first day. And then, through the rest of the book, we see God trying to bring human beings back. And God doing everything that God needed to do to bring us back into fellowship with God. That's what this story is all about. This morning I'm reading, though, from a passage in Romans that speaks of Adam, but it also speaks of Jesus as the new Adam. Hear what Romans chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 has to say. If by the trespass of one man, it's Adam that they're referring to, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us from where we come. Now open our ears, and Lord, speak through me. May my words be only yours. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to think about perfection. When you think of perfection, what is it that comes to your mind? Right? As a matter of fact, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to look at the person who's sitting next to you or near you, and if you need to move around, you can do that. That's all right. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to share with that person something that you have as an idea of perfection. I'm going to give you a minute to do this, okay? So if you need to move around, you can do that. And what is your idea of perfection? All right? I have a picture of a rose here. Guys, I want you to keep in mind that if you're sitting next to your spouse, just a thought to consider that, okay? Your idea of perfection, go, talk about it. Anyone willing to share their idea of perfection? Just call it out if you are.
A newborn baby.
Ah, that's nice. Every one of our children when they were little. Right. Sleeping. Oh, yeah, that's good. Beverly, was yours like double chocolate cake with fudge frosting or anything? Okay. Well, I was kind of in the right field, we'll say. Perfection. When God created everything, there was perfection. Everything that God created was just the way God wanted it to be. God had in mind something glorious and wonderful. And because God is God, God created it. And he created the world and the universe the way God wanted it. God created the animals and the plants the way God wanted it. Everything, perfection. Then he said, let's do something special here. Let's make human beings. And God created our race. He said, that is not just good, that's really good. Very good. I want you to understand that what God created was perfect. It is God's idea of perfection. Everything. Now, let's go into that a little more depth, in depth. That means that our relationship that we had with God was perfect. Remember what the scripture says? That God would come to the garden. And he would spend time with Adam and Eve, right? That they would commune together. We talked in Sunday school about, you know, what would you say if God was walking around with you? That relationship with God was perfect. Nothing needed to change. Nothing needed to be better. That relationship was perfect. The relationship between people, Adam and Eve at that point, was perfect. There's nothing that needed to be bettered. It was the way it was meant to be. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The way Adam and Eve interacted with the garden and the way that the rest of creation provided for and interacted with humans. Perfect. Just the way God wanted it. Now, just imagine what things would have been like. Living in a world where there are no needs. There's no starvation, no hunger. No one was going without anything. Living in a world without hatred, without division, without war, without abuse, without selfishness. Imagine what that world would be like. Sounds like something out of, you know, a movie about something, another planet, right? Imagine living your life without fear. Living your life without any shame whatsoever. Without prejudice. Without brokenness. Living in perfect harmony with nature. Living in perfect harmony with your spouse and with your children. With your neighbors. With all people. Having no enemies whatsoever. Imagine living in perfect relationship with God. No barriers, no misconceptions about God, but walking and talking with God personally, being in an intimate relationship. This is how God intended all people to live. This is the world that God created. And this was God's intention for us, for all people, for all time. So what happened? What happened? God's creation was distorted by sin. It may not have changed a whole lot on the outward appearance, but the whole of creation was distorted because of sin. What was that sin? We, the crowning glory of God's creation, weren't content in being that. We wanted to be like God. Often when we think about God, we think of God's righteousness and His goodness and things like that. That's not what humans wanted to become. They wanted the glory of God. They wanted to make the decisions like God. They wanted to be in charge like God. I'm saying they. We. We wanted to decide our own destiny. We wanted to be the judge of ourselves. We wanted to be the judge of others. We wanted to call the shots. That's the sin that entered the world. And that changed everything. It changed everything. The effects of sin aren't just that now we live imperfect lives, but the effects of sin affected everything. It affected, first of all, our relationship with God. First time God comes back into the garden after sin. We refer to it as the fall. That sounds like something like, whoops, tripped, fall, sorry. This was a decision that was made. And it was a decision that was made by Adam and Eve, but if they hadn't, somebody else would have. Because we desire to be above God. And so, this relationship with God was first damaged, and God comes back into the garden, as God always did, was walking, looking and saying, Adam, Eve! Oh, Adam, Eve, where are you? They're hiding. They're hiding. First of all, they had made some fig leaves, sewn them together, because they realized all of a sudden that they were ashamed of themselves. Ashamed of what God created. So they're hiding. And God says, why are you hiding? And then it all comes out. But this relationship with God was broken, and so the first thing that we feel with God is shame. The second is that we're hiding from God. Then we have a misunderstanding about who God is and what God wants, even wants us to do and be. There's a distance that grows between us and God. We distrust God. We decide that we're going to live, many people are going to live in denial of God himself. And we live in disobedience. That's what happened to our relationship just with God. Because of sin. That's not the only effect. Sin also affected our relationships with one another. They were damaged. They were perfect before. Our human relationships were just as the way they were supposed to be. And yet then, with sin, they become distorted. And now, first thing that happens, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames a snake. We start blaming one another. There's division that grows between us. Disunity, jealousy, hatred, bigotry, selfishness. The list goes on and on and on about how our relationships are broken. And if you think of any of our broken relationships, any that you've lived in, all of that has come because of sin. Of sin. Not only is our relationship with God and with one another broken, but our relationship with the rest of creation has been distorted from what God had intended. We live in fear of nature. We live with hardship because of nature. We act out our greed on nature, misusing it, wasting it, just being destructive of it. That's not what God had intended for us to be. That's not how God had intended us for us to use the earth. That's just one other place where sin has affected our relationships. Everything. It's affected everything. You see, sin has a way of getting into every part of who we are. And we experience that all the time. We experience the guilt and the shame. We experience the fear, and we experience the disunity, and we experience the brokenness in every part of our lives. And we have to recognize that it's not just because of Adam, but every bite that we take, you see, in sin, affects everything around us too. It's easy to blame Adam. Adam blamed Eve. Sure, we can blame people for the problems that we're facing. But, folks, look at your life. Look, are you sinless? No. All people sin. All fall short of God's glory, Romans says. And the fact is this sin, this way of living, is something that, well, it didn't stay with Adam, obviously. Okay, Cain and Abel come along. They didn't eat the forbidden fruit, did they? No. But we see jealousy, hatred, anger, murder early on in this very first sibling relationship. What do we learn from that? We learn that our sin doesn't just affect us, but affects others too. And that every person now is dealing with this corruption of selfishness. We all live with it. We have the story, we talked about it this morning a little bit. It was presented to us this morning during Sunday school. Noah comes along, right? And God decides that he's going to wipe out the sin of the earth. And there's one righteous person and his family. They go on a boat. Animals are saved. Noah and his family are saved. What's the first thing Noah does when he gets off the boat? He gets drunk. Gets drunk. His kids, one of them apparently is making fun of him or something. There's sin that continues on, you see. We can't wipe it out. It can't be wiped out. So, what are we left with? Something pretty awful, it seems like. The fact is that we live under the curse of sin. So we live in conflict with each other and with nature. We keep trying to keep God at a distance in our lives because we think we need to be in control and we want to be in control. It affects our relationships. It affects every decision that we make. It even affects the way that we think about ourselves. But there's good news. And that is found in Jesus Christ. And we have been celebrating what Jesus has done in bringing us back into relationship. You see, God, all through the scriptures, his desire for us has never changed. God still wants us to live in communion with him and in right relationship with God. God still wants us to live in good relationships with one another, perfect and whole relationships with one another. God still wants us to live as caretakers of this earth that use but not abuse. God still wants that. What God originally created is what God's desire is still for each one of us. And so, as our text says, as death came through Adam, life comes through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, the curse of sin and death is actually wiped out. You see that? Jesus' obedience undid what Adam's sin did. In other words, we no longer are slaves to sin, is the way Paul puts it. We don't have to live under sin's curse any longer, as our text says. Instead now, we can have our relationships restored. We can have what sin destroyed, God recreated through Jesus. What a beautiful picture that is, right? So we don't have to live in hopelessness. We don't have to live in that misery and if only this life were over, so then I can get to where God is, where glory is, and things can be right again. No, God is recreating things here and now, and it's been through his Son, and now it's through his people. God is continuously recreating to draw us back into fellowship with God and with one another. So, you may say, well, things aren't the way they were back in the garden. No, of course not. Are things perfect? No. Our relationship with God is not perfect. Because still, we are affected by sin. Right? And Paul talks about that. As long as I'm in this body, there's still sin that I'm dealing with all the time. But, it's not perfect, but that relationship is restored. You understand? We're brought back into fellowship with God. Our relationships with one another, clearly not perfect, but restored. And so there's hope. There's hope for our relationships to be the way that they were intended to be. Okay? Our relationship with the rest of creation, It's perfect? No. Definitely not. Still affected by sin, but restored. See, God is in the process of bringing us back into wholeness with God and with one another and with everything else as God had intended it from the beginning. There's a song that I've already made a reference to, In Christ Alone. And one of the verses says this, as Jesus stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I'm His and He's mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. See, we don't have to live any longer under sin's curse. Through Jesus Christ, the broken relationships can be restored. In Him, in Jesus, we become restored with God. We become children of God. In Him, we become restored with one another. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. In Him, even our relationship with the rest of the world is restored. We become caretakers of this earth. In Christ, we're brought back to the way things were meant to be. Perfect? No. No. Sin still has its effect on us. As best as we can have on earth. Best as we can have. And so there's a restoration that God is all about. In the beginning, God created perfection. And though we don't live in a perfect world any longer, through Jesus Christ, there's a path for our relationships to be restored if we'll put aside the sin that weighs us down, that so easily entangles us. Paul says, the sin of wanting to take the place of God. And we do that by wanting to hold on to control for our own lives, by deciding things for others and judging one another. We want to take that place of God. And that's the sin that we all have to be dealing with, folks. You know, Jesus even said, I didn't even come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him, that the world through Him would be saved, right? Jesus Christ is the new Adam. The new Adam. He brings to us God's amazing grace. In fact, Scripture tells us that the more that there is sin, the more that grace abounds. In other words, we cannot outdo God's grace. We talked about that this morning. The invitation is then to enter back into these broken relationships with God and with others and with the world. To seek restored relationships, allowing God, who is the ultimate creator, to recreate those relationships in us through Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ alone that we can have this hope of restored relationships. Nowhere else, folks. Nothing else. But in Christ alone. And through Him, even you and I can be new once again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.